Our scripture reading this morning will come from Psalm 42 and 43, which is found on page 469, is where it begins. We'll read both Psalm 42 and 43. On page 469, beginning with the first verse of the 42nd Psalm, hear now the word of our Lord. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, and while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and of Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. For the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling, and then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation, my God. Thus we've read Psalm 42 and 43. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Merciful Lord in heaven, this is your holy word that we have just read. We confess it comes from you and it's infallible and inerrant. And so teach us with it, Lord. Hide it in our hearts. Water us with your spirit and your grace so that we will grow. Be with your proclamation of your word this morning that it would accomplish your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've talked the last couple of weeks about what biblical hope is and how we're to hope in God and the dangers of despair, of losing our hope. And we have to admit that there are times where we do fall into despair or come close to losing our hope. And so the next logical question is, how then can we stir hope up within us? And the Bible does give us several examples of times where people are stirring hope up within themselves, where they've come to the end, where they've come to that point of despair. And Psalm 42 and 43 are a couple of examples. And what we see from the psalmist here, these psalms usually are taken together because they do share that repeated phrase, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" and "Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." And one of the things that we can see from that then is the psalmist talks to himself. When he finds himself in the pit of despair, when he finds himself without hope, he speaks to himself. He uses, first off, that emotion where he sees himself without hope and with turmoil and cast down. And he asks himself questions. Why does he feel downcast? And notice here the psalmist is not just sad. He's not just a little sad. He's sad enough to proclaim that tears are his only food in verse 3 of Psalm 42. And so he asks himself, why? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why do I feel this way? And the rest of these psalms give us some reasons that might have contributed. We see persecution or mocking from his adversaries. People saying, where's your God now? And exacerbating whatever condition he's in. Perhaps he even feels abandoned by God or rejected, as Psalm 43 verse 2 says, why have you rejected me? But he doesn't stop by just asking, why do I feel this way? He then gives himself the answer to those things, which is hope in God. What is the answer when your enemies surround and mock you? What can help you get through persecution and trials that are so bad that tears are your food? What can help you when you feel abandoned and rejected by God? And the answer is hope. You have to give yourself hope. You have to remind yourself of who God is. Repeat it to yourself often, as we see the psalmist do here. Not just one time does he say hope in God, but continually he brings it up over and over. Hope in God. Hope in God. He repeats it to himself. He's preaching it to himself. And by repeating it often, it serves to remind him of where his hope comes and where his help will come. It helps him resist the temptations and struggles that come with the hard times and the struggles. The temptation to give up hope completely. Or the temptation to put our hope in something other than God. Like to hope in money or the government or maybe some other way to get out of persecution and trouble. Maybe putting hope in our own abilities, whatever it might be. Listen to Lamentations chapter 3, another place that gives us a very similar prescription. I'll start reading with verse 16, where he says, He has made my teeth grind on gravel. He's made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It's good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good that a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it's laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes. Let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. Jeremiah there in Lamentations does much the same thing. He tells you that this is what his soul's saying. He says, I've given up happiness, and my soul says, I don't have any more hope. And he remembers the bitterness and the wormwood and the gall, but what does he do? He then calls to mind and remembers that the mercies are new every morning. And his soul says, the Lord is my portion. I will have hope in Him. He speaks to himself. The Lord is my portion. I will have hope in Him. It's good because it comes from God. Talks to himself. And not just saying hope in God, but rather he also gives reasons for the hope. And the psalmist does the same. Both Jeremiah and the psalmist follow that pattern. Notice the repeated phrase that is in, say, 42 verse 5 of the Psalms. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. He attaches reasons why he should hope in God. And the first is, He's my salvation. God has given salvation to our souls, which shows His great love for us already. We know that He sent the Lord Jesus Christ down to save us, to be our salvation. What greater love can one have? As we read in the book of Romans, if God has not spared His own Son, how will He not freely with Him also give us all things? He's given you salvation in Jesus. He's shown you His love. He's poured it out on the cross with His Son. Whatever the persecution or the trial or the hardship, whatever the problem the psalmist is going through, he's reminding himself that God has taken care of his biggest problem, sin. It's already been paid in full. He's already sent the Son. Or for us, He's already sent the Son. The psalmist, looking forward to the promise, we can look back on its fulfillment and know even more, and know that He didn't withhold His Son. We can know the name, the Lord Jesus, and that He laid down His life so that we could have everlasting life. And the second part of the reasons here is these: my salvation and my God. And that confession is a confession of a personal relationship with God. It's not just God Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. It's not just a God. It's my God. The one whom I know, and the one who knows me, who knows my frame, thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows my struggles and my hardships, who knows what it's like to be rejected and to have his friends turn his back on him, who knows what it's like to be mocked, who knows what it's like to suffer. That's my God. Or as we confess in the Heidelberg Catechism, question 21, in that definition about faith, where it says, not only to others, but to me also He's given forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness and salvation. There's a personal connection. Christ didn't just come in general to save some general group of people. He came to save individuals. He came to save you. He came to save me. He knew my sins, and He knew me by name. Even as He hung upon the cross, He knew exactly who He was dying for. And the psalmist knows that. He says, He's my God who knows me. I'm the sheep of His pasture, and He calls me by name because it's my God. Or if we could put it in the terms of Song of Solomon, the repeated confession there, my beloved is mine and I am His. That's the relationship we have with our God. He's our beloved, and we're the apple of His eye. It's personal, it's intimate, it's knowledgeable. He's able to have hope in God because he knows that God loves him and him specifically. And we see that not only does he stir up hope by talking to himself, but he remembers the Lord working in the past. The second half of verse 5 there in Psalm 42, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you. And in verse 4 of chapter 42, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise. He remembers the good times, the times where the Lord protected and blessed him, where the Lord let him go up the mountain to worship in the temple at Jerusalem, where he was able to sing the songs of praise among the people of God. He remembers God and His work and His life prior to the trouble that he's in now, actively remembering those times where the Lord was close at hand and the blessings easy to see, recalling previous answered prayers, the previous help that God had given to him and to his people. It helps stir up hope when we remember what God has done before. How often God has helped you and answered your prayers. How often He's proven your hope to be true and based upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Recall and remember those times and let those previous incidents stir you up in hope now. Or as Jeremiah shows us in Lamentations, instead of just remembering the affliction and the wormwood and the gall, but rather to actively call to mind that His mercy is new every morning. To remember who God is and that His steadfast love never ceases. And that great is His faithfulness. And that idea of remembering is indeed an active calling it to mind. To going and fetching it out of your memory. Not just waiting for the memory to come flitting past your mind, but to say, I feel bad. As He says here in Psalm 42, my soul is cast down. Therefore, I'm going to remember You. I'm going to go into my mind and pull out those memories that are currently hidden because of circumstances. To remember those times when I worshiped with the people of God in the temple of God. To remember those times where You answered prayers, where You delivered. To actively pull it to the front of my mind. Because sometimes the suffering and the trauma and the hardships mount, and they're hard to see around and they're hard to see past. They press down on us and we start to lose hope. As Jeremiah shows us in the beginnings of Lamentations 3, his soul is continually remembering the wormwood and the gall, the affliction and the wanderings. He has to actively switch what he thinks on. To go back and to remember the mercies. The times where it was good to bear and wait patiently upon the Lord. To remember that we're not crushed under the weight because God is with us. And that is in itself a mercy from God. And then as we stir this hope and as hope grows within us, we'll see that hope can motivate us to prayer. Psalm 43, verse 3, he says, send out your light and your truth and let them lead me. He's asking God for this because he has hope in God who is his salvation, in a God who is indeed ruling and reigning over all the earth. In these two psalms, the psalmist is going to God in prayer. His circumstances don't stop him from prayer. The persecution and the opposition doesn't stop him from prayer. Being away from Jerusalem in the temple doesn't stop him from going to God in prayer. Nothing should stop him from going to God in prayer. Even as he pours out his troubles and his hardships before the Lord, the very act of doing so shows he has hope in God. And then hope gives way to praise. Again in Psalm 43, verse 4. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre. Send out your light and truth, and then I'll praise you. Hope motivates not only prayer, but it motivates the response of thanksgiving when our hopes begin to be fulfilled. It motivates us to go back to God and say, thank you. The psalmist is already anticipating that hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. Because He will answer my prayers, and I will then go to Him and say, thank you, Lord. Because I poured out my soul, I told you my troubles, and you answered. The psalmist anticipates going back to church and worshiping the Lord, his joy, and praising God in song. And that, of course, will enlarge his hope even more for the next time. When our hopes are proven true, it gives birth to even more hope and more trust and more praise, as we see from the psalmist. And that hope also gives us a passion and a longing, a desire for God. Psalm 42, verse 1. Let me read it to you again. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? What a strong desire that he speaks of here. Think of how much you want a glass of water when you're thirsty and your lips are dry and your throat is parched. You begin to think about how good it will be and how you can go get that drink of water. And sometimes it even overpowers your thoughts, and all you can think about now are how my lips are super cracked and I just want a drink of water. But we're humans. We have self-control. We can say things like, I'll get the drink of water after I finish this chore in 30 minutes, or I'll just drive to the next exit and then I can get a drink, or whatever it might be. The psalmist uses a different picture. He uses an animal that has merely the instinct and the drive, as a deer desires that water. When a deer needs water, he goes and gets it. And he longs for it, and he doesn't put it off, he doesn't delay it, he doesn't rationalize why he can wait longer. No, he goes and he finds it, and he drinks. The deer has a need for water, and he does what it takes to get it. He has that internal drive that forces him to the water, no matter what. That's the picture the psalmist gives us of our soul longing for God. That's what hope in God looks like. That it drives us back to the living well, to drink from the living water. Just think about that picture that Jesus Himself gives us. When He talks about how He's the living water, when He's with that Samaritan woman at the well who has avoided all social contact, who has come out in the heat of the day to get water simply so she doesn't have to be surrounded by the people who look down on her and who know her sin and judge her or whatever else it might be. She's gone through great lengths to avoid this contact, and then there she meets Jesus. And Jesus tells her, I'm the living water. You'll never drink again. And it takes her a moment to figure out that He's not talking physically but spiritually. But what does she do when she finally comes to understand that He's the Christ and He can save her soul? She immediately goes back and finds that social contact that she's been missing. She goes back and she finds all the other people and she says, I've found the Christ. Come with me to the water and let us drink. This is He. And the whole town comes with her. And they all come. She has that desire. No longer is she driven by something else. She's driven by the desire to be with Christ, to have her soul satisfied, to have that drink of the living waters, the living God. Her soul was panting for it. And she finds it. Hope drives us to God. It drives us to Christ with a heart full of desire. So when we find ourselves struggling with despair, when we find ourselves down and missing our hope, as we see many in the Bible do, there's just a couple examples here in the Psalmist of 42 and 43 and Jeremiah and Lamentations 3. But we see that they start by stirring hope up within themselves by counting their blessings, by actively changing what they're thinking on, rather than looking at the wormwood and the gall, rather than counting while the tears have been their only food, but to look for those times that the Lord has blessed, to look to who God is, and to find those mercies that are new every morning. List them, count them. And you'll find that hope beginning to stir within you. As you look for the hand of God actively working in your life, when you look for the love of the Lord Jesus being poured out upon you, and it is even in the hard times, you'll find that hope stirring back to life. And preach the gospel to yourself. It is the voice that we listen to the most, what we say to ourselves. Don't wait for Sunday just to hear the gospel. Preach it to yourself. Read it in the Scriptures. Even when you find yourself downcast and you're asking yourself, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Be able to tell yourself that the Lord Jesus loves you. Remind yourself of just John 3:16. Remind yourself that you are a sheep of His pasture and that He knows you by name. That He died for you while you were yet ungodly. Remind yourself that He has gone ahead of you to prepare a place for you at His Father's table. Remind yourself of the gospel. Tell yourself about the hope found only in Jesus Christ. Don't let yourself get distracted with false hopes. Don't let yourself get distracted with hardships. Remind yourself of the love of Jesus. And then, of course, go to Him in prayer and ask God to grow you in hope. We're told specifically by Jesus, you have not because you ask not. If you find yourself lacking and down in hope, ask God, Lord, fill me up with hope. Show me your hope. Grow hope within me. Stir hope up within my soul. We're able to ask God. We're able to pour our soul out to God. And we can say these things as the psalmist does here. He's honest with God, yet also asking God to help him. Jeremiah is honest where he says, I've come to the end and I'll think I have no hope. But then I remember. Then I remember who you are. Go to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, show me your mercies that are new every morning. Grow me in hope. And finally, don't forget to look to Jesus. Jeremiah and the psalmist here are looking forward to the Christ that is yet to come. They have the promise, and they're still able to say, He's my salvation and my God. You have it even better. You've got the complete Word of God. You've got Christ having fulfilled it all for you. So when we run the race, as it says in Hebrews, run it looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Keep your eyes upon Him. Have your heart stayed upon Jehovah, as the song says. Have your eyes fixed upon Jesus. We're going to sing just a minute, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And as you sing it, think about those words, about how it is that we should have such a great friend in Christ and that we should look to Him and go to Him for our help. He's our life. He's our salvation. He's my salvation and my God. And if we look to Him, we'll find hope in Him. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You and we praise You that You have given us Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has a victory over sin and over death. Lord, we confess that there are times where we forget. There are times where we're overcome by hardships, by pain, by suffering. Help us hope in You, O Lord. Fill us up with Your hope. Make us people of hope so that we might know. So that we might know the sweet consolation found in Jesus Christ. Help us be able to show that hope to others and to tell others of the greatness of the love found only in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.